COVID-19 infections are on the rise again around the United States, reinfections are up too. Data from the United Kingdom showed that nearly 30% of cases there right now are reinfections. That's compared to 11% when Omicron first came to the UK in late 2021. The current surges in infection and reinfection are being driven by the BA5 subvariant, which is able to evade some natural and vaccine immunity, even if you had Omicron during last winter's surge. The increase in case numbers comes as Americans are traveling more than they have since before the pandemic. We're talking about the state of the pandemic right now, what to know about the BA5 variant, and how to protect yourselves and others. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Have you had COVID-19 more than once? What was that experience like? What do you want to know about the risks of reinfection and what causes it? How are you weighing the risks of getting infected or reinfected at this point in the pandemic? Are you worried or not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ajay Sethi is a professor of population and health sciences and director of the Master of Public Health program at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Ajay, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Dean. Nice to be here.
We're seeing with this BA5 subvariant that you can get COVID again, even if you have been vaccinated or had it before. Can you talk about what you're seeing right now in terms of BA5's ability to get past immunity?
Yeah, so BA5 is now the dominant variant. It's replacing the previous variants that were circulating. And the fact that we have yet another variant that's able to replace previous ones tells us that there must be some growth advantage that BA5 has. And the ability for this new variant to evade immunity is central to this. There are two mutations in the spike protein that are hard to that create a protein that makes previous antibodies hard to get to. So if you had that previous infection, it's just not going to provide as much protection or maybe any protection against BA5. And that's why reinfections are more common with this current variant.
We're still learning about BA5, but as it stands right now, who seems to be most at risk for reinfection?
Well, really anybody. If you've had infection in the past, especially if it was a while ago, you're going to be at risk for reinfection. And I think the key ingredient here is your own behaviors. You can avoid either your first infection, if you happen to be lucky to have never had COVID yet, or reinfection, if you wear a mask or if you avoid those crowded places, if you're up to date on your vaccination. And people at risk for reinfection are the ones who are going to be putting themselves at risk for catching the virus yet again. And there can be some complacency. If somebody had infection relatively recently, they may think there's this maybe 3-month window where your immunity can handle an exposure again, but it turns out with BA5, really within a month, you can get reinfected.
Wow, and if you do get reinfected, do those cases tend to be more or less severe than the initial case?
I don't know systematically across everybody, but I would say that the same risk factors for severe disease will apply again. So if you're somebody with comorbidities, if you're of older age, if you're immunocompromised, those are going to be people who will have a chance of severe illness every time they get infected. And of course, if you're not up to date on vaccinations, you have a greater risk for severe disease. And if you're younger, you're more likely to have milder or more manageable COVID. And the second time around, yeah, you're probably in that same category. But every variant is different. So far, there is no evidence that BA5 causes more severe disease. We're seeing an uptick in hospitalization around the country and a little bit in Wisconsin, mainly because there's more spread of that virus. Not because it's necessarily more severe, but the data are still coming in.
We're talking with Ajay Sethi right now, professor of population health sciences at UW-Madison, checking in on where we're at in the pandemic right now and the new BA5 variant. Taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about this new variant? Have you had COVID more than once? Tell us about your experience. 800-642-1234. Ajay, we just talked about BA5 not necessarily having more severe symptoms. Could you give us a refresher about what symptoms of COVID-19 are at this point in the pandemic? There's been so many subvariants and new types of symptoms arising. What are the things people need to watch out for right now?
Yeah, and there can be a lot of confusion. So if you may confuse it with allergies or other kinds of respiratory illnesses. But of course, if there's a cough, and if you have a runny nose, if you have muscle aches, if you're just tired, if you feel off, that's important for you to go get tested for COVID, certainly with a rapid test. If you should have them at home if you don't already, but you can also still get testing through public health, through your healthcare provider with PCR. But those symptoms sort of remain the same. On average, people say, you know, Omicron has been milder compared to the previous variants, but milder for, on average, is not milder for everybody. The other thing that Omicron causes is there's more infection or more replication of this virus in the upper part of that lower airway, and not doesn't necessarily get deeper into your lungs for everybody. That's also contributing to why it's milder on average for most people.
And those at-home rapid tests, those are still detecting, still working for this new variant?
They are. However, you know, a negative rapid test doesn't necessarily mean that you aren't carrying the virus. So that's why it's really important to repeat that test, especially if you continue to have symptoms. And a lot of people are vaccinated. And so the immunity from the vaccines do kick in. And so that can kind of prevent that test from becoming positive immediately, because your immune system's kind of working and preventing the virus from replicating too much initially. But eventually, it might. And with a repeat test, it just might turn positive. So that's just really important to remember, that repeat testing is important.
Is the BA5 variant more transmissible, more contagious?
It's hard to say. So it does have a growth advantage, and that's why it's replacing the previous variant. But that growth advantage seems to be coming more from its ability to evade immunity. There probably is some increase in inherent transmissibility, but it's very hard to separate what contributions are from the shape of the spike protein causing, you know, more infectiousness, more ability to spread, versus the vulnerability that people have because their antibodies from previous infection and vaccine don't do us as much good. I would say there's a ceiling effect as to how transmissible a virus can be. And we're getting there because these new variants are so much more infectious than the original strain that emerged back in 2020. But there isn't a ceiling for how much of our prior immunity can be escaped by newer variants. Inevitably, we will be dealing with viruses for which prior immunity doesn't protect us. And that's why it's just so important for people who do vaccine research to continue to develop vaccines, test them, use strategies that might be able to give us immunity that will last a longer period of time.
And if we are feeling poorly and we test at home, get that negative test, but we're still not quite sure, how long do you recommend we keep testing at home before we can confidently be in the clear from COVID?
Yeah, repeating the test the next day, another 2 days later would be good. The other thing is, if you're not feeling well and it is a respiratory infection, whether it's COVID or not, it's not a bad idea to stay home and get rest, because that means you'll get better sooner. And if you exert yourself when you have those symptoms, that's not good for public health, because you may be spreading whatever you have to others, and you're not going to get well yourself. And if it's COVID, the rest is just really important. And that's what I would suggest.
We're talking with Ajay Sethi right now, professor of population health sciences at UW-Madison's School of Medicine and Public Health. He's talking with us about COVID-19 reinfection and the new BA5 variant. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We have a public health expert with us. What are your questions about the pandemic right now? How are you thinking about the risk of infection or reinfection? Have you change your plans? Has your family changed their plans on account of where the pandemic's at right now? Have you contracted COVID-19 more than once? What was the experience like? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Knetter, in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about COVID reinfection and the BA.5 variant with Ajay Sethi. He's a professor of population health sciences at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And we're taking your calls, your questions, at 800-642-1234. If you've experienced COVID-19 once or twice, maybe more, please let us know what your experience was like. What questions do you have about protection against this new subvariant and what it all means? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones now. We have Jocelyn in Verona. Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi.
What was on your mind?
I was just interested in more about second boosters. It seems like they're available out there, but not currently recommended for the general population. And I was wondering why that is and if the doctor will think that will change in the coming weeks.
Ajay, what do we know about recommendations for second boosters?
Yeah, right now, anybody over 50 years of age is recommended to get a second booster, and not enough people have gotten that second booster. And Jocelyn's right, there are a lot of boosters out there in storage, and they will expire. And so there are people wondering, you know, should our government make those boosters available to people under 50 years of age, because they could also benefit from it. And we'll have to rely on the CDC and the FDA to determine, you know, whether that should be the case. It's inevitable that vaccine doses will expire. And right now, if you're over 50, it's really imperative you get that. Because when you're over 50 years of age, there's just a higher probability that you have underlying conditions that put you at risk for severe COVID. And people under 50 just inherently have lower risk on average. So I think it's just important to get that second booster. I know people have been talking about waiting for the fall to wait for an Omicron-specific booster. And I would say, don't think of it as an either or. Think of it as, if you haven't been boosted in 2022, it's time. Get the first one, get the second one. And in the fall, if there's an Omicron-specific booster, you should probably get that one too.
And just to clarify, if you've had dose one, dose two, but you haven't gotten the first booster yet, still time, still a good idea?
Still a good idea to get that first booster if you haven't. I think about 2/3 of people haven't had even that first booster. And those are the ones who are going to be at greater risk for getting infection and having severe disease compared to people who have been boosted at least once and hopefully twice if they're over 50.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Janet with us in Random Lake. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Yes, I just got over having COVID for the second time. I had the original in 2020, and I was tested for PCR, using a PCR test to confirm my COVID. Why do they not check what kind of variant that you have when they test you for COVID?
Janet, thanks for the call. Ajay, what do you think?
Yeah, so sequencing that virus is being done, but not on all samples, maybe 5% or 10% samples in a given region. And really, only when we know that there are multiple variants that are out there, if we know that there's only one variant being spread in a community, then sequencing isn't going to really tell us much once when we know what that variant is. And so sequencing often gets ramped up when we're getting a changing of the variant, so to speak. Because that's when we want to be able to track what is the new variant, what kind of disease it's causing, and when is it becoming the dominant strain. But in general, because the variants the vaccines will protect against severe disease, it's not necessary to test everybody, because we're not going to gain that much information from knowing what specific variant somebody's infected with. But at a population level, it's good to know what's spreading.
Janet, thank you for that call at 800-642-1234. We will go next to Tim in Hollandale. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I was curious about the UVC or UV lights that we heard so much about, and we were going to incorporate them in the airports and schools and buses, but now I don't hear a thing about them.
Tim, thank you for the call. That was something we heard about in the early days of the pandemic. Ajay, any use for UVC lights, either in public gathering places or a hospital setting?
Yeah, so I'm not up to date on the literature on UVC as a way to sort of kill the virus in an environmental area. But I'll say that ventilation has been of high priority, and there's continued discussions of figuring out how to get indoor air to circulate more and filtered, because that has been shown to be very important to prevent transmission. UVC is important for not just viruses, but also bacteria. And in healthcare environments, they already have UVC in critical places to prevent that. But for COVID, we are thinking more about ventilation for those indoor spaces. But I'm also not up to date with how UVC is being looked at today compared to 2 years ago.
When people get COVID-19 and if they have to go into a hospital, how have we done with treatment options? What is sort of the standard of treatment right now? How have we progressed since the early days of the pandemic?
Yeah, so there are now outpatient sort of treatment options. So being able to get Paxlovid if you are tested positive and you're at high risk for severe disease. A lot of people seek Paxlovid, but don't necessarily end up getting it because they haven't worked out a plan with their healthcare provider to figure out how to access that. It's available, and if you don't have a plan to get Paxlovid and you're at risk for severe disease, it's important to talk to your doctor about that. Once you're in the hospital, every variant sort of changes the landscape of what kind of monoclonal antibodies we can give for people with COVID. And right now there is one that works for BA5, luckily, but that's usually reserved for when disease becomes a little bit more severe. And the goal really is to keep people away from healthcare settings. So that's where being up to date on vaccination, knowing how to access Paxlovid. If you're immunocompromised, having Evusheld in your back pocket or ability to access that would be important to avoid getting severe COVID.
We seem to be in an ongoing arms race between our immune systems and new variants. Ajay, is there a trend you see here for either our immunity or the success of the virus? I'm wondering, what are you thinking about the future months and years here?
Yeah, I'll say that when we have a new variant and it's beginning to replace the previous one, it's self-evident that it's escaping some of the immunity we've had in the past. And this virus does evolve, and immune escape is going to be the primary mechanism for which new variants will arise and dominate in the future. In the beginning, it was probably transmissibility and immune escape. And now moving forward, it's going to be much more that immune escape. We can't help that. Lots of viruses evolve. Influenza is a good example where every year we have to update the vaccine because it changes enough that you need to get new protection from vaccination. This virus evolves maybe a little more rapidly. We don't have a seasonal pattern yet. We seem to have wave after wave. And it's indicative of our past immunity being good enough to ward off hospitalization and death, but not breakthrough infection. And hopefully the vaccines will improve over time to be able to give us that longer lasting immunity.
And that brings up the question of what we feel comfortable doing and not doing out in public. And if we're wearing a mask, what are your current recommendations for people thinking about whether or not they should be masking?
Yeah, you should be masking, especially indoors when you're around other people in a crowded space, especially when traveling. I know mask mandates have been lifted a while now, and you know there's no testing requirement for travel, but that doesn't mean you can't do that. If you test positive, avoid other people. You don't want to be that person to give somebody, especially a vulnerable person or family member, you don't want to give them COVID. Wearing a mask is important, especially a good tight-fitting N95 mask. It really does do a good job in preventing you from spreading any viruses you're carrying to others and also picking up viruses in those public spaces.
Those N95s will work both ways, protecting others and ourselves?
It's always helpful when more people in a room are wearing it. But there is a two-way protection with a nice, tight-fitted N95. Cloth masks were a little different. It was more one-way protection. But with with a good fitted N95, you do get both protection both ways.
And as we wrap up, Ajay, just in our last 30 seconds or so, what information are you curious about? What do you want as a public health researcher right now?
Well, I'd like to see us go through a period of time where we don't see another wave of COVID, because we're seeing variant after variant and more immune escape and more sort of peaks in and waves of COVID. It means we're not endemic. And we've had conversations about endemicity not long ago, and we're not there yet. And so I think it's just important that we continue to monitor this virus, see how it evolves and adjust accordingly, and get people to sort of reinvigorate the steps they take to protect themselves and others.
Well, Ajay, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you, Dean.
Ajay Sethi is a professor of population health sciences and director of the Master of Public Health program at UW's School of Medicine and Public Health. He was with us today to talk about the BA5 variant, the prospect for reinfection, what it means for where we're at in the pandemic, and recommendations for keeping ourselves and others safe.